You, my friend, are listening to the Happy Hearthstone. This episode is brought to you, as always, by listeners just like you. Thank you so much, Anna O, Roger A, Samurai Flea, Jason A, Nate Dog, Luke S, Coinkin C, James W, and Forrest B for supporting the show. You should join them. Seriously, go check it out. Get some great perks for yourself at patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And by GameFlip Gigs. You've got the skills, now go get the cash. Whether you have something to provide or you need some help, you can find the solution over at gameflip.com/gigs. Hello and welcome to episode 152 of the Happy Hearthstone, the longest running Hearthstone podcast in the history of space and time and cards. I'm your host, Andrew Brown, and this week I'm going solo. It's just you and me talking Rosticon's Rumble, and I am mega excited because we have a lot to talk about as far as the meta is concerned, because there are 135 new cards. Is that right? Somewhere around there? A lot of new cards. In fact, more cards than we've ever had in the standard pool of cards. So we are going to do our first meta breakdown of the new season, and we're not going to keep it all ultra competitive, though, because I know you guys, many of you are like me. You like to compete, you like to improve your gameplay, but you also like to have a little fun along the way, too. So I'm not just going to keep it to the most ultra competitive. I'm also going to find you some really good decks that can sort of surprise your opponent and allow you to play with some new cards and stuff. So it's going to be a really great time. And hey, how about those review episodes? Did you guys have fun with those? I always look forward to making those with Wicked Good. We always have a blast creating them. And I'm just so thankful for how those turned out and eager to step into a new year, whatever next year is, who knows? It's going to be really good. But thanks so much for joining me this week. I want to talk to you first, of course, about why I'm happy. Well, the truth is that I have been seriously busy this week. As many of you know, with the HS replay stuff that's popped up, it's been incredibly exciting, and I've been doing all of my onboarding and training and stuff this week so I can be up and running and helping to respond to customer issues and help with some marketing efforts and stuff. I have been super excited about joining the team, and it's going to be a busy season for me, though, because I'm doing that on top of my full-time job, making this content and all of that. So I am both happy and a little bit pressed at the same time, but it's a good kind of pressed, right? When you're doing things that matter, that's really when, I don't know, when you can really find joy in the midst of working really hard. So it's been great. It's funny, I actually remember, I don't think that I've shared the story on the show, but at BlizzCon, I got the chance to talk with Chanman V from Value Town a couple times. And Chanman was on the team with HS Replay at the time, and he was so incredibly positive and spoke so well of the team and the people behind the product, you know. He was just, he was glowing about, you know, talking about what it was like to work with them and all that kind of stuff. It's a little bit crazy that quickly after that, he actually had another opportunity pop up and needed to step away, which actually made the room for me to come on the team, I believe, if I'm correct. But after, I remembered Chris talking so highly about the people on the HS Replay team, and it's just 100% been my experience so far, from the top all the way down to my supervisor. Like, they're just all great people and have been really just warm and inviting. I feel like I'm part of the family very quickly, and so I'm excited to step into the future with them and just see what everything holds. Looking forward to the holidays ahead. I'm going to be going down to Dallas. That's where I grew up. I don't know how many of y'all knew that. Actually, we just found out on Twitter recently, many people didn't know that. So I grew up in Dallas, Texas, and so we'll go down. My parents are still down there, as well as one of my sisters, and everyone's gathering for the holidays. So that'll be a lot of fun. My daughter has a couple or three cousins, I think, now on my side of the family. So seeing them all grow up, they range in age from, I think the youngest is still under a year, so she's an infant. And then the oldest is 5. Yeah, she was born right before my wife and I got married. So she's probably a little over, maybe 5 and a half I think. So anyway, so that'll be a lot of fun. I think that I'm probably going to take a week off of content during that time frame, just because, you know, I need some time to pause, to hang out with the family and all of that. I'll have one more episode for you, I think, before Christmas hits. So, but I'm planning that out, and that'll be great. So lots of good stuff. I did actually want to talk about one thing on a personal level, too, as if I hadn't talked about a few things on a personal level. One thing I'm actually really excited about is this week I actually met with somebody for pretty basically a counseling session. He's actually more of a spiritual director. But the past like month, couple months, I've just been in conversations with my wife about feeling like with as much good stuff as there is going on in my world right now, that there's still like something deep missing. And I really, I've been reaching out to help from people who are mentors, a little bit older and wiser than me, to kind of say like, hey, what would you do in my situation? What do you think could be most helpful? And one of them actually mentioned, hey, you really should consider meeting with a spiritual director. That really might help you. And I just want to speak to those of you, because I know the holiday season can be very pressuring for a number of reasons, whether it's disappointments in the past, disappointments about your present. I think many of us feel like we're alone in the darkness during these kinds of times. And I would not at all say that I'm on a like end of my ropes kind of situation by any stretch. I just feel like there's more that I'm missing out on. And I really want to get some input and voice into kind of how to proceed, how to set myself, my family up for better places mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all those kinds of things. So I just want to encourage you that if you find yourself in a similar situation, whether you just feel like there's maybe a gap between who you are today and who you really want to be, or you could be on one of those situations, especially where you feel like there is not a lot of hope for you or your mental state during this time, reach out. And if you don't know who to reach out to, reach out to me, and I'd be happy to connect you with resources that I know of, whether that's in your area or outside of that, like locally or online or something, you know. I just know there's not a lot of conversations that happen around this. It just seems like advertising and marketing-wise, the whole world is happy. And a lot of times the holidays really can just bring to the surface feelings of inadequacy and uncertainty and stuff like that. So I want to encourage you, press into the discomfort, because I think that there's something significant in it for you and for me when we really search intentionally and ask the bigger questions and don't shy away from things that are difficult like that. And you have to do it with people. It's hardly ever a journey, I think, that you can really, really healthily take solely on yourself, but it does start with you deciding, hey, I'm not okay with where things are at today, and I'm going to seek help, guidance, direction, whatever that might be. So anyway, I just felt like I really wanted to say that during this time, especially because I'm kind of going through something similar myself. You know, bettering yourself is one of the best investments you can make, no matter what that takes. So you're worth it. Do it. And if you're in a good place, awesome. Hope you didn't mind me taking some time to talk for everyone else who may not be. So let's talk about the news. There's not a lot going on right now. The Rumble Run is officially out. I hope you've had a chance to check it out yourself. I've actually only had a chance to play it once, and so it's been fun. It's been really cool to see the different take on the solo player adventure. I mean, Dungeon Run was such a game changer because it was the first iteration of anything along those lines, where the roguelike of adventures, I guess. With Rastakhan's Rumble, it seems like they have really, or with the Rumble Run, excuse me, it seems like they've really honed in on what makes it fun, on how to add to your deck in strategic ways, how to anticipate what's coming, and to make it fair, but still somewhat, you know, different and fun and all of that. So I got to play it once. I chose the shrine that was a paladin. It was whenever your hero takes damage, deal 5 damage to the enemy hero. That worked really well until it didn't, the Steve Lubitz story. It was great until I ran into Warmaster Voon, and he just whipped up on me hard. His shrine with 8 health that had attack equal to his armor was just bananas. So that, and I realized during that game, I have like no hard removal in my deck. I've just been trying to kill him as fast as I can, and he was able to put on so much armor that that really didn't work. So yeah, but I still have fun with it. I'm actually really looking forward to playing more. I've just been enjoying the ladder and all the different decks. I don't feel like I really need Rumble Run right now, but I've been impressed so far by what they did on that. I actually still need to go back. My puzzle labs are not complete yet. Need to get my card back, if nothing else. So be sure to go enjoy that. I think the team did an incredible job really harnessing the flavor of the set and doing it in a really smart way, iterating on obviously what they've learned from Witchwood Monster Hunt and from the Dungeon Run. So great job, Team 5, on that, and looking forward to playing it more. There's also something outside of Hearthstone that I wanted. I feel like I at least need to briefly talk about. The Heroes of the Storm Global Championship was canned just this past week, and it was extremely abruptly. Blizzard decided that they needed to go a different route, and they're reinvesting a lot of the assets that they've been spending in Heroes of the Storm in other ways. And the big parts about that were this global championship. They've said that they're planning on not doing that anymore in the future, as well as Heroes of the Dorm. So both of those have been really significant esports campaigns that they're no longer going to continue. And I really want to head off any kind of pessimism about this, because this kind of stuff has to happen, right? And they kind of mention it in the announcement that there have been projects that Blizzard's been able to work on because they brought other projects to a halt. And it's tough, because I think we're in an era where Blizzard feels very much like World of Warcraft, Diablo, Overwatch, Heroes of the Storm, Hearthstone, StarCraft. Like, these are all like the core experience of Blizzard, you know? And so to remove one of those, or at least to alter it significantly enough to say we're really not going to put anything behind the esports. You know, they mentioned they're still going to come out with new heroes and themed events and stuff like that. It's just going to be at a, I think their wording was, a different cadence than it has been in the past, which is fine. Like, I get that that needs to happen. And the truth is, because they're moving people from Heroes of the Storm into some unannounced projects, that means we're probably going to get something in the future that's way better. And, you know, it's honestly, it's probably a reflection that Heroes of the Storm overall isn't the revenue generator they really want or need it to be. So we're going to work on these new projects that really do have a lot of promise to outpace that. If you're unfamiliar with Heroes of the Storm and its competition in the esports scene, I'm sure you've heard of this little indie company's game named League of Legends. That's a joke in case you don't know. And League of Legends has just completely owned the MOBA space pretty much since it was released, I believe. And I'm not an expert in that field, but that's just my perception. And Heroes of the Storm has kind of been a much more accessible version of that for a lot of people. Obviously, it is Blizzard's love letter to their entire universe, because they're able to just throw everyone in an arena and, you know, see how Lili would face off against Diablo. I mean, that's just insane, right? It's kind of their Super Smash Brothers in a lot of ways, right? So it's just tough that this is kind of coming out of the blue. The reason why this was, I think this was so impactful for a lot of Hearthstone players, was because the esports announcement that Hearthstone made, I think it was a couple weeks ago, about their plans for 2019 and the next season, came out of after a long period of silence. And there were many, many players who were concerned and really just unsure about what does the future of Hearthstone esports look like. And here, the Heroes of the Storm players were going through the exact same thing, if not for an even longer period of time, essentially. So for the hammer to just be dropped out of nowhere that, hey, we're not doing any this anymore, it means that a lot of pro players, obviously, a lot of content creators, announcers, stuff like that, things are shifting so significantly that it means if they were too heavily invested in Heroes of the Storm, which in order to be a high-level esports player, you need to have the one game that is your baby, right? These people have been investing time, energy, and all of a sudden, it's, hey, you have no future in this, essentially. So it was it was sobering. And if you didn't hear about this, you should go on Twitter and just kind of look through different things. I'll be sure to link the Kotaku article that came out about this because I think it sort of highlighted a few of those. It was just a tough way to handle a very somber announcement, I think, for it to just drop out of nowhere, to not talk with these players, teams, give them any sort of heads up or anything. I can imagine that from a high level for a company as big as Blizzard to handle something like this well would be difficult. But it seems like the long periods of silence aren't really doing a lot of good, regardless of whether the announcement is good. Like for Hearthstone, there were a lot of good things with that one, or like this, where the implications of this are severe for the full-time jobs of a lot of players and people who are connected with the scene, obviously. So it was kind of crazy. I mean, honestly, for me, it was sobering to think they could announce that about Hearthstone at any time. And I don't think there's any danger of that actually happening. But it's just true that if this happened for one game, it could happen for another with just as little preemptive knowledge or anything like that. So it's kind of crazy. My heart honestly goes out to everybody who was affected by this. I pictured myself as the Hearthstone podcaster and now working for a company that's heavily invested in the Hearthstone scene, that something like that is just so significant and can change things a lot. So I hope that, whether you were, doing it for a job, a hobby, if you just enjoy the game Heroes of the Storm like I did, you just know, hey, there's a whole community here that feels for you, that knows you, that loves you, and that wants the best for you. And like I said, the game isn't over. You know, if you're like me and you enjoy playing Heroes of the Storm, there will still be new content for you to play and stuff. It's not just, shutting down or anything like that. But it does kind of feel eerily like the beginning of the end. This is a big step in a new direction for the game. So who knows exactly what that cadence of new stuff will look like. It certainly won't be what it's been, though. So, yeah, I just wanted to express and help any of you who may not have known about that to understand really the big implications for the whole scene, but really all of Blizzard's franchises, that we just never take for granted what you have, because we've been through a lot even just in the Hearthstone world over the past 6 months or so, and we're in a new era, I would say, in a lot of ways. I really am still looking forward to what's going to happen with whatever the new year of rotation is, because I think it's going to bring a lot of new things. Just never take for granted what you have, because things change constantly. And many people, when change is forced upon them, don't like that. And I think it's just a human feature. It's not like a bad thing that we react that way. But you never know what you got till it's gone, truly. So thanks for being a part of the Hearthstone community. Thanks for being a part of the happy Hearthstone community more than anything. And I hope we have a lot of good times to look forward to in the future. All right. I would like to thank the sponsors for this episode, Gameflip Gigs. It's been so great working with them. And I hope that all of you have checked it out at this point. If you haven't and you've heard me talking about this, please don't spend any more time listening to this episode until you just go over to their website, gameflip.com/gigs. It's a great new hub for gamers to offer their services to each other. And I believe the beta is still going on. So if you haven't signed up to be a carrier, a coach, a creator, an entertainer, that's the other one, you really should go check it out. You've got nothing to lose by signing up for it and everything to gain. You can get up to $1,000 bonus just for participating in the beta as somebody who's selling a gig on there. So go check it out. And if you haven't gotten to see the different the other gigs that are available to you, you should. You can find some great coaching for your game, or somebody to play with, or get some creative assets for maybe you've got a podcast you're making yourself, or you really want to tweak up your Twitch offerings. You can go find somebody to do all of that and more for you over there. And they are the preferred partner of SK Gaming, I found out, Bunny Hopper's team. So that's really exciting that they got that. And so, yeah, gameflip.com/gigs. Go check it out. And thank you so much again to GameFlip Gigs. It's been great working with you. Just so thankful that you'd support our community, this show, and everything that we do. So thanks. Go check them out. Okay, so let's talk about the Rosticon meta. So there's lots that we need to talk about preemptively before we get too far in the weeds. We are at the very onset of what is the new meta. So that means that things are as far from settled as it possibly can be. There are a few key attributes when the meta is brand new and we've got a ton of new cards that have been introduced. And the first thing is that people are really eager to experiment, both with deck types and with different cards, especially the new cards, obviously. People want to try synergies. They want to try putting something in that's different from what they've had before. They want to try a new archetype that wasn't even possible before. Regardless of which they choose, there's lots of experimenting. So what's popular may not necessarily be what's best. And like I mentioned at the top of the show, we'll kind of talk through two different lenses. One of what is best to help you truly get your edge on the ladder that I know many of you would like. And then we'll talk about, hey, how can you have fun? How can you really, I guess, view these things from the lens of, I want to do well, but I also want to use new cards. Because many people are excited to use new cards, rightfully so, and a bit disgusted by the people who don't use them. So there's plenty that you can experiment with and still do well with. So yeah, we'll go through all of that. But it's really tough to nail down just because something has a high win rate right now. Might mean that it's countering the things that people are experimenting with. It might mean that it is the best deck overall. But you really have to look at longevity over a very long period of time in order to see, hey, what is actually the most effective thing for me to use if Flattering's number one priority for you. So even though there's lots of uncertainty, there's plenty that we can glean from it, and I want to equip you with the best knowledge that I possibly can to get you where you want to go, no matter where that is. And really exciting, you probably could have known this intuitively, but I'll just come right out and say it. Since I'm working with HS Replay now, I'll be able to offer pretty in-depth statistics, unlike what I've been able to do before. And I've always said this about HS Replay, but what's great about them is that you're able to see things up to the minute. And during this time, especially right after the release, there are a ton of filters and stuff. Many of you who use HS Replay Premium know this already, but for those of you who don't, there are just so many filters that you can use to really deduce data to exactly what you want to figure out as far as like how to counter a specific deck or what's the most popular deck at my rank in my region. I've been really digging into this stuff, and especially being able to see that rank and region, what's most popular, what's working, and then how to counter it is just so beneficial. I feel like I'm playing with fire now every time I go onto the ladder. So I'll be able to use some of this data, and in the future, I'll be able to actually figure out even a lot of custom stuff. So there will probably be times in the future where I'm able to even offer up, hey, what are you guys interested in seeing? What would you like to hear about? And I can, I've got to learn a lot of programming speak to really get there at my best. But yeah, just incredibly thankful for this really robust tool that gives us as good of a picture as we possibly can have for what's going on in the meta nowadays. So yeah, so let's dive into some of this stuff. If you've been listening to the Happy Hearthstone for a while and you've heard me do these meta breakdowns, you won't be surprised to hear that one of the most effective decks right now is Odd Paladin. What? Since when, Andrew? Since the entire Boomsday meta, essentially. And this is where, like, if you're looking to get to increase your ladder score, where you're at and stuff, the only tier one deck right now across all of the different ranks right now is Odd Paladin. It's been the force to be reckoning with for as long as we know. It's at like above a 60% win rate. So it's just so consistent. It's so fast. And especially while people are experimenting with things, Odd Paladin can continue to just put the pressure on turn after turn after turn. And if your opponent doesn't have the right answers on those really key turns, you can push on the gas really hard and let them not have a chance whatsoever. Now, it's interesting, if you look at just the legend ranks of what's being played right now, Odd Paladin falls into tier 2 at a 55% win rate. The things that are at tier 1 up there are even Paladin and even Shaman. So similarly with Odd Paladin, these even decks are able, Paladin and Shaman specifically, to just generate a lot of value by having the extra 1-1 or the 0-2 that you can take advantage of on the field that can do a lot of trading, do a lot of work, and utilize plenty of good cards to be able to just overrun your opponent with way too much. So, Odd Paladin becomes less effective as you get higher and higher. Even just looking at the ranks 5-1, Odd Paladin is still at the top there. And I would bet to imagine that the further I go down, the more that's going to be true. And that is accurate, actually, as I'm looking at it. So, man, I actually didn't even realize that I'm learning stuff even as I'm poking around on the tools and stuff. So Odd Paladin is always going to be at the top for now, especially. But while more experimenting is going on, it can, that can fluctuate. And then I was actually looking at the most popular decks out there right now. And following up Odd Paladin, the most popular ones right now are Kingsbane Rogue and Spell Hunter. And again, this shouldn't really surprise anyone, right? And actually, at my rank, so I bumped up to rank 4. It actually goes in order. Spell Hunter is the most popular, then Kingsbane Rogue, and then Odd Paladin. Spell Hunter has been a standard since, I guess it was To My Side was released, because that was the first card along, I think that, was that Kobolds? Yeah, it looks like it was a Kobold's card. That and Rakdalar came out at the same time and really gave just so much value. At the time, Barnes and Yashiraj could be slotted in there. You'd hope for a really early Barnes that could pull your Yashiraj, and then both those activated. It's just so much tempo. It's insane. But even without those, you're able to get a lot of value over a very long period of time. The Spellstones have been so incredibly impactful. I mean, Hunter has been the most popular class for quite some time now with Rosticon's Rumble, because we've got Spell Hunter, we've got Secret Hunter, we've got several mid-range Hunters that have actually been ratcheting up the lists. And I know that there's one I'm forgetting. I'm sure some of you are... Oh, and Deathrattle Hunter, of course, the boogeyman. And now, actually, there's been this big Secret Hunter that's sort of a hybrid of Secret Hunter and Deathrattle Hunter that's also doing very well. Even looking at the general meta list, you've got 4 out of the top, 8 class or 8 deck archetypes. So that's 50% of the top performing decks are Hunter. So it's yeah, it's kind of an insane time, honestly, for Hunter. So if you're a fan of Illyria or Rexxar, kudos to you and congratulations. Anyway, Spell Hunter was the list that I was playing most often right off the bat. I got Zul'jin in a pack, as I mentioned in the review episode, and just wanted to play with Zalaelis list a lot. And Zul'jin is a powerhouse. Like we said on the review episode, just the ability to do so much with a single card in one turn is a lot. I mean, it's the definition of a bomb card. If you haven't heard that, it isn't just a throwback to old school cool lingo. A bomb in a card game is a single card that has a massive impact on the game, and Zul'jin is like the definition of that. You can reload all of your spells. If you've been playing Animal Companions and To My Side especially, you can get a ton of value from that. I'm still wondering if Flanking Strike and Baited Arrow are worth it, since they go all across the board, but because with the Spellstone on also, that's the other part that just does so much work on its own with Zul'jin. It's insane. Spell Hunter, it looks like, is the most popular Hunter list. Almost half of Hunter archetypes right now, from 5 to Legend, it looks like, are Spell Hunters. And you know, their matchup rates are pretty good across the board. It looks like some of their best ones right now. Well, I've honestly been seeing a lot of Druid lately, and Hunter does really well against Druid. So Beast Druid and Malygos Druid, even Undertaker Druid, it's got a positive win rate on nearly every mage archetype out there. It's doing good at. Really, its Achilles heel is the Odd Paladin list. It's got a 38% win rate right now against that. So not doing quite as well over there. And it looks like Warrior is kind of a toss-up. Some of the Dragon, well, the Dragon variants are, it's doing well against, but Odd Warrior, it's a little under 50% on that one. So, yeah, Spell Hunter is just a solid deck. I mean, it's not as Solitaire-esque as, like, Freeze Mage or something like that, right? But it kind of feels that way, where you're just developing your board, you're using a lot of really good spells, Zul'jin hits the board and just forces your opponent to have a way to deal with it, and then if you can get Deathstalker Rexxar in after that, you generate infinite value with insane zombies, and it's so good. I think the deck will still be good after Deathstalker Rexxar rotates out of standard, but even before then, I mean, the deck is just a force to be reckoned with for sure. And then Kingsbane Rogue, holy cow. I mean, we talked Raiding Party to death during our review episode, but it's so true that, like, now with that, Kingsbane Rogue is able to actually do more or be a lot more consistent than before. Again, looking at the 5 to Legend, Kingsbane Rogue accounts for half of all Rogue decks that are being played right now. Tempo Rogue is actually up there at 20%, surprisingly. But I mean, overwhelmingly, like, Kingsbane just, it has the value. It kind of acts as a combo deck in a lot of ways. Its best matchup is against Odd Warrior. It has a 90% win rate against Odd Warrior. So if you're playing Odd Warrior right now, you know that this is the ultimate boogeyman. And be interested to actually see some of these win rates and stuff. It looks like, well, again, Odd Paladin is the Achilles heel, which you'll see as sort of the overarching thing, that these decks that take a while to set up, they might have infinite value, because Kingsbane Rogue does the same thing in a lot of ways as, like, Deathstalker Rexxar, where it's just like you keep getting Kingsbane, you lifesteal every turn, your opponent just can't kill you, and you outlast them. So Odd Paladin is able to bring so much pressure so quickly that that it doesn't care about your infinite value. It just cares that you're dead. Kingsbane Rogue looks like far above 50% win rate for nearly every warrior archetype, nearly every priest archetype, and nearly every druid archetype. So if you're seeing a lot of that, those really could be the right things for you. One of the tools I've been spending the most time with in HS Replay is actually the matchups page, where you're able to see in the meta what the most popular decks are and then what their matchups are against one another. So it's a really quick way to be able to see, hey, if something has a lot of green on its row, that's probably a good thing, especially if everything on the furthest left, the most popular decks, it's doing well against those things. And the truth is, right now, Odd Paladin has a positive win rate against the, let's see, other than itself, obviously, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. The eight most popular decks, it has a positive win rate against. So I think you know what's coming with my Have a Happy Time deck of the week, if you're trying to get serious on here. But there's actually another one that is a little sneaky. And it's a good friend of mine, and maybe yours, named Shudderwalk. So I have been playing Shudderwalk Shaman since rank 6, and was very steadily able to get out of rank 5 into rank 4 without much of an issue at all. And I went back on here, and I was trying to figure out, why is Shudderwalk Shaman doing so well, other than the fact that it runs very few new cards. I have seen lists that are running Zentimo and lists running Bog Slosher, but some of the best-performing decks don't have those cards in there. And the big deal is that Shudderwalk Shaman has a 67% win rate against Kingsbane Rogue right now. That's pretty dang good. And then it has above a 50% win rate against Spell Hunter, which is good too. Odd Paladin doesn't do as well against, and there are actually lots of other popular lists right now, like Odd Mage and Tempo Rogue. I haven't had much of an issue against those, so I might be an anomaly. I don't know. But because I haven't been seeing much Odd Paladin, I've been seeing a lot of Spell Hunter, a lot of Kingsbane Rogue, and then people, experimenting with, honestly, the other Hunter lists. I've seen a lot of Fatigue Druid. I came up against two of those, and it was literally insane in the men's brain. I can't remember who was viewing me, but they got to see quite the show against that opponent. But Shudderwalk Shaman is probably one of the best recommendations as far as the most popular decks that are seeing a lot of play. Now, as I scroll down, I actually see one other, and that's Even Paladin. Even Paladin has a positive win rate against Odd Paladin, Kingsbane Rogue, and Spell Hunter. So that's one to look at. Token Druid also has a positive win rate against all three. I'll see if I can find one more down here. Yeah, they're not doing so well. That's why they're not that popular. and this is really the power of HS Replay, is being able to see all these very quickly, and then you can jump in. They just released this Twitch VOD function, which I wish I had more influence in, but it was like day one that they were unleashing that new feature where you can actually view VODs of people playing on Twitch. You can watch them based off of if they won or lost, whether they had the coin or not, and all that kind of stuff. It's just a really incredible tool. So yeah, those are some of the ones they have on your radar. As far as what I am specifically going to recommend to you, though, obviously, Odd Hunter, we haven't even talked about that. Odd Paladin is at the top of my list because it's good, it's fast, it's a deck that's a bit easier to learn. And for most of us, it's probably one that's affordable because a lot of the cards have been around for a while and you may have them. So I obviously have to recommend that. And then from my own experience and from the data, I'm going to say the Shudderwalk Shaman is also a really good option as well. So you've got one really aggressive option, one that's a little bit slower and combo oriented. So hopefully that gives you something if you're wanting to get truly serious about your ranked ladder grind. Those can really serve you well and be good influence for you. But I want to talk to you about some fun decks also. Can we talk about some fun decks? Is that okay? There's another really cool tool that's, I think, on the newer side on HS Replay, where if you click on decks at the top of their website, you've got a ton of filters that you've always had on the left-hand side. There's a filter on there now, though, that says at least one new card. And this is great for conversations like this one that we're about to have, where if you want to see only decks that are being experimented with at least or have new stuff, you're going to see a lot more of that, obviously, here. So You got stuff that I'm sure many of you are familiar with. I mean, we just talked about Spell Hunter and Kingsbane Rogue there. Undertaker Druid, I know Steve has been playing a lot of that and having a ton of success with it as well. OTK Paladin is on here. Zoo Warlock is obviously not a new deck, but running Grim Rallies, Serenite Taskmasters, and I think there's at least one new other high-end card. No? I don't see one in this list necessarily, but and stuff like the Big Secret Hunter and stuff like that. So there's lots of really cool stuff. I want to recommend two, though, that aren't even on this list. One I've actually spent some time with is Spiteful Priest. And that's not a new deck, especially after Kobolds and Catacombs. That was being played a lot. But the Spiteful Priest list that I've been running has been a lot of fun and pretty good also. It's actually running Omega Mines, which, if you don't remember, were from Boomstay, and heal you for 10 if you're at 10 mana crystals or more, have gotten me out of quite the tight pinches. And then being able to play Spiteful Summoner with, what are they, Free from Amber or... there's a 10 mana spell. I can't remember what it's called. Wink, wink, wait for the card of the week. That have just been a lot. I've been getting so much goodness out of those that it's like I'm just enjoying the deck a lot. So I can't recommend that one highly enough. If you kind of want to you want to play something that has staying power because the archetype's been around for a long time, But have some of the fun new cards. There is a copy of Dragon Moss Scorcher, the 5-mana dragon that deals 1 damage to all minions. Crowd Roaster, which is the deal 7 damage to a minion if you have a dragon in your hand. So there's some dragon stuff going on here that's a lot of fun. And Priest has been missing its dragons for quite some time. So this was a fun one to play, and I think it can do well. You just get value off those Spiteful Summoners enough that it can hold its ground in plenty of different matchups. So got some good board clears, healing, all that kind of stuff. So I'll link I recommend a list to that in the notes. And also, there's an Odd Mage list that I recently discovered from Apex Void, and he calls it Safari Mage. It's an Odd Mage list that has an emphasis on beasts, specifically running two copies of Untamed Beastmaster, which is the neutral epic, that when you draw a beast, it gains +2/+2. So this list runs the Black Cats, obviously. That's kind of that's definitely going to be in there. It runs Janalai, which is a beast also, so cool. You get some extra value off that. It runs Dire Moles, and it runs Baku, which is a beast also, don't forget. I feel like there's one more I might be missing on there. But I played a little bit of that. I actually recorded some footage for the patrons of the Happy Hearthstone as their exclusive content this past week. So if you're interested in seeing that, you can go check it out, patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And I'll leave the deck list for you for sure in the show notes because it's out there. Apex Void made it. So if anyone's going to figure out Mage, it's that guy. So those are two lists that I think have some potential and have enough new cards and funness to them that if you really want to try them out, do so. I'm really trying to be a lot more gun-shy about jumping onto the ranked ladder system these days, because getting up to Legend is tough during these first days, because a lot of people are using the stuff that's really vetted and approved over a long time rather than all the fun new stuff like what we're talking about here. So if you're playing those, definitely try to get your feet underneath you in some casual games. But who knows? You might do well enough that you feel comfortable and can go check it out yourself. So those are all my recommendations. I'll include lists for, again, for those fun decks, but also for my Have a Happy Time deck of the weeks in the show notes as well over at thehappyhearthstone.com. So you can go check it out and equip yourself, whether you are a Timmy, a Tommy, a Turner, a two-stepper. I can't remember all those names. So Jimmy's one of them, I think. I don't even know if that's true. No matter what your play style is, though, there's something for you there. So thehappyhearthstone.com, you can go check those out. No questions from the community this week, although as we're jumping into the holiday season next week, I would love to hear from you. So I'm going to put the question out there for our out on social media for people for the next episode to talk about either decks that you're having a lot of success with, a lot of fun with, or questions you have for me about how to approach things on the ladder or how to approach the new set. So next week will be a lot of questions all the time from all of you great people. So be sure to send those in to me. You can shoot me an email at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com, or you can tweet at me at Andrew's Living, of course, and anywhere else. I'll be around, so be sure to do that. And no iTunes reviews this week either. I'm really excited to make the coaching session a frequent thing. So if you would like to get in on that, I'll be raffling off an hour of coaching to somebody who either leaves an iTunes review this month or has left an iTunes review in the past but hasn't won a month of coaching. So if you'd like in on that, either go leave a review on iTunes or just email me at thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com and let me know the username that you left the review on in iTunes. I dropped the teaser of teasers, as there were, for the card of the week earlier, and so let me bring you into the holiday spirit, I think, with a card that many of you love and many of you love to hate. The meta's all sorts of cray. In fact, it's quite the ride. So many combo decks that need every minion by their side. If only I could take one key card from their play and get it to help my board instead. And here it's going to stay. Oh, mind control, mind control. I'll take that right now. Your Undertaker should have won, but now I'll take you down. Oh, mind control, mind control. This could break the game. It may take up my whole turn, but it's good enough to stay. Cheery. Don't you feel like you're on a sleigh ride? That's a different song. Mind control. It is a 10 mana basic priest spell that reads, take control of an enemy minion. I know that this card has gone through a few different iterations. I'm pretty sure it's been nerfed. It was like 8 mana when it started or something like that. Taking control of an enemy minion is a really big deal. It's not a big deal when your opponent is playing Token Druid or something like that, but it is a really big deal when your opponent's playing Undertaker Druid. So this card in Spiteful Druid, I was playing against an Undertaker Druid, and it's exactly what I game planned for. When I realized they were doing the fatigue thing, I was like, I wonder if they're playing Undertaker in here. So I held on to a mind control thinking, if I take it, I think I'll be good to go. So I waited, I took it, and ended up killing it off. And now I have to go back. I feel like I need to find this replay in my replays. I'm pretty sure I took it and it had the death rattle effects that it had gained from its opponents. So somehow they did have a second copy of it. I think they naturalized maybe their first copy and I had to mind control the second. It's turning out to be a terrible story because I can't remember details that are very important. But it led to an insane game where I literally won with one health in both of us in fatigue. So it was crazy. I misplayed a couple of times, I think, so I really should have done better, but I was very thankful to win after whatever 35 minutes we were playing for or something like that. So mind control is a card that I think is always going to be relevant as long as it's in the game. Spiteful Summoner obviously has brought it to new heights because it can just be utilized in the entire game. Getting a 10 mana spell or a 10 mana cost minion at random is even more value than just being able to steal something. So I'm sure that we'll see similar effects in the future. It won't be exactly the same, but I like how Spiteful Summoners really created a different archetype of decks that made just a few spells at the very high end viable. And I think we'll see stuff like that again in the future. So, and I know that it's a card people hate also, because if you're playing Undertaker Druid and you get a mind control, that's not a good day for you. So sorry about that, opponent, if that was you listening, but I'm not sorry. So as we're closing up here, I just want to remind you, as always, you are the happy Hearthstone. This show is about you. It's for you. And I just want to encourage you to continue to stay connected. There are so many great ways to be connected to what's going on here. And the big two that I really want to highlight, I've kind of been harping on over the past couple weeks, but during the holiday season, we are running this holiday giveaway, and you can enter to win a Cougar gaming mouse or $10 of BattleNet credit or an exclusive Hearthstone t-shirt that we've been working on. So my friends at Cougar Gaming and Esportsium have helped to make this thing happen. So really excited about this, and it's going to end on December 24th. So if you haven't entered yet, you've still got time, but don't delay, because if you delay and say, I'll do that some other time, trust me, if you're like me, you'll forget about it. Thehappyhearthstone.com/holiday will get you entered into that. And be sure to join our Discord also, thehappyhearthstone.com/Discord. I'm sure many people are still unfamiliar with Discord, but it's just a great place to connect in real time with other people. They're basically chat rooms where you've got people who have similar interests. Obviously, everyone in the Happy Hearthstone Discord likes Hearthstone and likes the happy Hearthstone. So they're positive people who really want to encourage one another, help each other get good at the game, have fun with the game. So if that sounds like you, you should really come. We'll be better because you're a part of things. The happyhearthstone.com/discord will get you into our the exclusive invite that you can find that way. So be sure to do that. And go follow me on Twitter at Andrew is Living if you're not yet. Twitter is a great place to connect as well. And yep, that's about everything I can think of. Well, of course, the Patreon. If you've been listening for a while and this is a show that you really look forward to, I would love you to consider coming over and joining the team that's making this show happen. I'm going to keep doing this show regardless, but because of all the support we've been able to get over at Patreon, I've been able to do even more. I come out with weekly exclusive content for people at $5 and above. And we've got some goals. The fact that you get weekly episodes for this show is due to the people who are over there. So even if you're not supporting the show on Patreon, you should be thanking the people who are, which you could do in the Discord channel also. But seriously, come join us. Starting at just $1 a month, you can get some great perks. And really, we can continue to grow this show and be able to do more. Patreon.com/thehappyhearthstone. And thank you so much to Red Knight and Risen for supporting the show, for being producers of the Happy Hearthstone. I know Risen, I'm actually going to get to be on his stream here pretty soon. He's a fantastic streamer on Twitch. If you haven't gotten to see him, you should search for him on Twitter. It's RIZEN1020. So you can follow him there and follow his Twitch. Be on there this next week and excited to hang out with him. He's a fantastic player, so I'll probably learn as much from him as hopefully he might glean from me as well. I'm sure we'll have a lot of fun. So thank you, Risen and Red Knight, for supporting the show. Truly would not be the same without both of you. We actually have a new producer who's joining up this next month, so really excited to see that as well. And of course, one of the best free ways you can support the show is either telling a friend, even just shouting out the show on social media, whether that's Facebook, Twitter, wherever you hang out. If you're part of a Hearthstone Facebook group, we do have a Happy Hearthstone one for that. But if you're part of another, even just letting people know about the show is a great way to support. And of course, leaving a review on iTunes where you can be entered into the drawing for a free hour of coaching that can come back to benefit you as well. So go check out all that stuff. And for everything else, you can check out thehappyhearthstone.com for every link you could possibly ever want. Hey, by the way, if you want to be on the show, reach out. Let me know on Twitter. Shoot me an email, thehappyhearthstone@gmail.com. I'd love to have you on. We can talk meta. We can talk decks. We can have a deck battle. We can do all sorts of stuff. It'll be a good time regardless. So, wow. So a big old show with a lot of data, a lot of good data. I hope that helps you and equips you as you're facing off, whether you're, well, I guess it won't help you much in the Rumble Run. I hope you have fun with the Rumble Run, that you do well. But in your latter experience, I hope you can level up, reach those goals that you want to reach, and keep getting better. So thank you so much for joining me for this episode. Yeah, thanks for visiting the Happy Hearthstone and having a little fun with us. I'll see you next time. Thank you again to GameFlip Gigs for sponsoring this episode of the Happy Hearthstone. I love the tagline on their site that says, "You got the skills, now earn the cash." As a gamer, you have ways to help other people, and whether that's as a coach, a creator, a carrier, or an entertainer, you definitely want to go and check out what they've got to offer and apply to become a seller during their beta. As I mentioned before, you can earn up to $1,000 by helping other people and becoming a seller over there. So go check it out, gameflip.com/gigs. And thank you again, GameFlip Gigs, for sponsoring the Happy Hearthstone.